A to Z Talks, Season 2, Episode 4, Travel Like a Jet Setter on a Budget. What's going on, Mr. A?
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Z? So excited. Another day, another topic. And this one, you know what, is actually one of my favorite topics for sure. You know, being able to travel, I think we've got some travel coming up. I finally get to see you in person. I cannot wait. And you know, this is one of those things that we're going to keep it light again, try to give the listeners something to kind of learn from some of our experiences. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have visited over 25 countries, 35 states in the U.S., you know, at one point I was platinum elite with Starwood and a 1K member with United. And so I remember living out of suitcase, and you know, it was a lot easier to travel with status like that. But now I'm finding out it's a lot harder when I don't have all those statuses and you have to figure things out in yourself, you know, a little bit of a budget. And so, I mean, I used to wake up literally like not remembering which country I'm in some days, but glad those days are over. You know, I love them, but it was overwhelming, but it gives me some things to talk about. How are you feeling about today's topic?
I feel like you're taking advantage of our podcast and just trying to refresh your mind on your own tricks, and you just want to share them with the world as you prepare for it.
Yeah, I think that's the key, right? I always, when we go back to the very beginning, the purpose of all this was to kind of get our information out there, get our experiences while we're going through it, so that in the future, kids, generations, whatever we want to talk about, they'll be able to learn a little bit. But for now, yeah, for the audience, kind of have my own refreshers to go to. You know, I think this is one of those topics that, you know, some people definitely have travel anxiety. Some people travel like rock stars, right? And there's influencers who do it for the gram, which we're going to try to get as close to that, but I'm not even there on par with some of that level. But, you know, this will be like the 101 course if you're trying to travel like an influencer. You know, definitely they've got their perks calling ahead and they can get a lot of stuff. And, you know, if you got the, you know, thousands and thousands of followers, hey, there's another topic out there for you to touch on. But for us, we're going to try to figure out, you know, how to help your regular average traveler, or, you know, whatever type of traveler you want to be. But it's back to, you should have a plan. And I think that's going to be where we kind of focus on this, right? It's nice if you still use a travel agent. I don't even know if they exist anymore. If you have an admin, that's awesome. But you know, we're going to talk about putting a plan together if you're traveling and how you can get the most out of it and still have some perks without blowing the wallet. So I'm just curious, back to you, as far as how do you approach planning or for a trip, or if you even do?
Well, are we talking business or personal or both?
That's a good point. Hopefully, if you do it right, it's a combination of it, right? Either one. But maybe you could start with business.
Okay. Well, yeah, on the business side, I'm not really doing a ton of planning. I think there's a lot of tools and apps that came out over the past couple of years that helped us a lot, making travel a lot easier. And you don't have to plan anything ahead. Like, for example, when you get out of the airport, it's so easy to just call an Uber or use a free Now My Taxi app to just get a taxi to whatever location you have to go to. That used to be a lot harder in the past. So what I do mostly is not a lot of planning. I make sure I have the right hotel booked. I want to make sure I have the best available flight booked. And that's about it. I'll just let it happen.
I was going to say, I think I recognize this, because whenever you and I travel, it's me that comes up with the plans and you're just like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, sounds familiar. On the personal side, it's pretty much the same thing. I don't plan a lot. I know where to go. And let's say I want to do a day trip. That's usually the kind of things I plan on the first night when I'm already there, because I want to get acquainted with the area. I want to find out how far is everything, how easy is it to get somewhere. Because sometimes on paper, a trip sounds very easy, but then when you actually get there, you notice it's way different than you imagined. And therefore, I think it's much better to be at the place when you start planning what you want to do.
It does help, right, to have people to talk to when you're there, and when you get to a hotel, or if you have an Airbnb host, or, you know, wherever you're going. Even the local taxi driver sometimes will have, you know, full of tips and information. So I definitely understand that part. But, you know, if some people are like myself, I do have anxiety before going on a trip. And so I put in a good amount of work, you know, business or personal, just because I've always thought, you know, growing up or going through school, my biggest thing was I want to have a job that allows me to travel. And so once it, you know, opened up those doors, course, I wanted to make sure I get the most out of it. So no, completely understand. You know, there's a few times where I'll show up in a place and maybe figure some things out, but I try to have a plan. And I think that's what we're going to cover, you know, some basic things to take into consideration.
Wait, speaking about anxiety, what kind of airport person are you? Like, do you go to the airport 2, 3, 4 hours before the plane starts, or like last minute?
Ah, man, I try not to do last minute anymore. That definitely would mess with me. I mean, there's times, right? But like, I hate being in that security line where you're just like, oh, will someone let me cut? Because I might not make it. I hate being that way. So I try to give myself at least an extra hour or two, and, you know, allows you to sit and eat and watch a show or relax. How about you? Which way are you? How do you approach it?
I'm totally last minute. In my 8 years of business traveling, I have never missed a flight. And I was in those situations where you sit in, where you stand in security line, you absolutely know you're not going to make it. And then for some reason, someone lets you through and you somehow still make it. It's just, I like it. I like not having to wait because I hate waiting. It's a waste of time for me.
I'm going to knock on wood and just hope that that streak continues on. But yeah, it's never the most fun to be in those situations. But you know what? There's always ways to get through it. So I like it. However, what kind of travel you are, hopefully between the two of us, we're just here to share our tips, our experiences. There are a ton of better ways, different ways. But you'll notice in our chat, right? We have different approaches, planning ahead of time, not. And I think it'll be good just to kind of get the two sides of our ideas for all of this kind of stuff. So I think, you know, like I said, it's always recommended to have a plan if you can. It's a travel plan, yeah, and having goals even before a trip. It's kind of funny. I apply the same thing to every topic, as you can see here. But, you know, like if you're traveling by yourself, I think it's a lot easier. It's just you. You know exactly what you want to do. But if you're traveling with your partner, you know, a significant other, you got to make sure that you get their input, their taste. Maybe they don't want to sit around and watch sports and drink beer all trip long, right? So you gotta make sure you take into their taste into consideration. Do some research together. You know, I actually enjoy that part of it. Watching some videos, you kind of get excited. So you almost the trip doesn't it lasts before it even starts. You're able to kind of enjoy the anticipation for some of that kind of stuff. I think that's important. And even, you know, in the group setting, if you're going to, similar to us, we're going to be getting together, a few of us here in pretty soon. And I think it was really cool. You coordinated a call and we got on the same page. We shared, you know, what our budget expectations, what kind of things we wanted to do. And it makes for the trip to be a lot less anxious, I guess. So we're going to go over just a few things today, just some current trends, very high level basic planning steps, again, how we approach it, some cool stuff about loyalty and memberships and things like that. And then, we'll keep it light. So definitely want to hear back from you guys. If you guys have some cool tips, if we've missed on anything, comments, reach out to us. Always appreciate the interaction and engagement there. So and obviously I think you're going to hear two different perspectives. You know, myself, I've done a lot of domestic travel. I mean, a lot of international, but definitely, you know, I've covered 35 states. So, you'll hear kind of back and forth in some of these apps, maybe US based, but, hopefully Tobias, you can fill in the blanks for us there for the international side.
I hope so.
Cool. So real quick, just, you know, some current trends to be aware of in travel right now. We are in, you know, the beginning of 2022 and, obviously, the pandemic age is still somewhat prevalent. And so there's just certain things as you're getting out there, just making sure you have realistic expectations, right? There's many things that are closed out there. Not all attractions are as widely available. And so the good thing is, you know, it could be less crowded out there, but you need, you know, more advanced planning, and you have to understand what you're going to do and give yourself enough time, because things could take a little bit longer with some of the complications there. And it varies from country to country, right? Or even city by city. It really depends on where you're at. There's some different restrictions that are happening. So I don't know, for you, Tobias, where have you been lately, and how's that like?
I've only traveled to Spain, Ireland, and Austria, I think, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I spend a lot of time in different places of Spain. Last December, I was in Ireland, where we still had a lot of COVID restrictions, but it was kind of okay. And as far as I've heard, Ireland has completely removed their COVID restrictions, so everything is back to normal over there. Same goes mostly for Austria. And I think Spain is... I don't know the details. I'll figure out soon. But traveling was, in general, the only difference between traveling in the past and traveling with COVID was having to get tested before every flight. And It also depends on the country. When you enter Ireland, when you enter Spain, you have to get a test. When you enter Germany, you don't. I don't know if that changed, but that's the only key difference I saw. Oh, and wearing masks in the plane, of course, which can be tough if it's a long flight.
I did have one of those going to Costa Rica, and it's a different experience, right? I think the traveling is important. There's a place I found, it's travelbans.org. They actually have a lot of good stuff if you need to find just like the most latest up-to-date information when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, Googling, it's easy enough. You're going to hear that a lot here. It's not rocket science, what we're saying, but like search certain terms and you'll get there. The COVID test is definitely, you know, prevalent. You know, one of the things that we always have to take into consideration these days. And but there is a cool thing out there, like at least for the U.S., if you go travel anywhere international and you need to come back, you do need a test like 24 hours before, which can be really stressful if you're out there trying to, you know, enjoy your vacation or enjoy your trip, and you have to get a test 24 hours before. Where do I go? What do I do? The cool thing is there's a website, eMed, that they've created, you know, these tests where they're actually like monitored virtually. So you can do them in your hotel room. Someone can verify them, send them to you before you come home. So you can, you know, at least you still have to do it, but it's a lot more convenient. So, you know, the good thing is when there's these problems out there, there's people out there solving them, and it's made life a little bit better. You know, when it comes to like where I've been, I've mostly gone to, I've still traveled a good amount, especially in the U.S., maybe a lot of road trips, but it's been more focused on parks, beaches, you know, scenic views. I always check the hot tub button when I can on Airbnb. We'll talk a little bit about that. But, you know, you what's different is I'm not going to these places with large crowds and, you know, huge events and concerts and things like that, which I miss, and I hope that comes back soon. But that's, you know, definitely a piece of it. The other part that it's just a current trend, I think, is traveling with a pet. I know that's definitely something, you know, a lot of people have gotten pets over the COVID period. And I'm realizing when you go to the airport, like there's just all type of pets that you see, dogs and cats and birds and things. And, you know, they're, for the most part, they are permitted, but you just have to schedule early on. You know, for me, like I've flown with my cat and I've learned that, you know, some cabins, they only allow 4 per cabin. So you have to pay extra and it costs a little bit. And there's definitely some complications, but if you want to do it, just realize that you're not in there by yourself. And there's a lot of people out there trying to travel with a pet as well. So, you know, do a little bit of research. And then the last piece that I think is notice of a trend, which you know, I actually really appreciate, which is free cancellation policies, or you know, being able to change some of them. But just sometimes when we're planning right now, it's like you really want to have something in place, but you're not sure, right, given circumstances, the environment. And so being able to look for those free cancellation options on hotels, Airbnbs, it goes a long way. I even take a little bit of advantage where if I find a good spot and it says free cancellation, I'll go ahead and book it just in case I don't lose it. So I think those are just some of the current things that we see. Anything else that you can think of, just current trends for that you're seeing while you're out there?
I think nothing you have mentioned. I also dig the free cancellation policies, like up to 24 hours before. And a couple of airlines, they probably don't really allow a free cancellation, but they allow you to indefinitely reschedule your flight or rebook your flight. And I've been using that a couple of times.
Yeah, for sure.
That was cool.
The travel credit or what say you. So again, you know, it sucks some of the things that we have to deal with, but you know, the companies out there have tried to make life easier. They want you to travel, especially, you know, to the right places. So take advantage of what's out there. So I think the next part, we're gonna jump right in here. It's the basic planning steps. That we have about 5 steps and we're gonna drill into just a little bit of detail. It was funny. I was trying to go back and forth if this was the first step or not. So I landed with plan your trip budget. I think that's important, right? Because I think sometimes you go with where you want to go, but if you don't have the money, it kind of is a struggle. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? Is that your first step or is that not your first step when it comes to thinking about traveling?
It depends on the trip, I would say. If it's a weekend trip, Budget definitely has a higher role than if it's like a international trip or like even an intercontinental one. So if I know I want to have a 2-4 week vacation, then it definitely isn't as important as if it's like a weekend trip.
Got you. Yeah. Well, I mean, because you can then make variations and changes if you're going to be there for that long. You do still need to know how much you have, because if it's a long trip, it's going to be expensive. Right. But yeah, so, you know, I think the first thing is definitely important to understand your budget, understand, you know, realistically, like, yes. So we never said that, you know, what type of budget. Some things can be really costly, right? Especially in the times that we're in. And yeah, there's a lot of ways to travel on a budget, though. So you could just, it could be, you know, booking the flight, hotel, transportation, some of the basic things, and then going to what I do. Like I said, these parks, beaches, it doesn't have to be as costly. And it's easy also, a lot of ways to blow out a budget, right? Fancy meals, excursions, alcohol consumption, those things that you don't think of. So that's why I always think, okay, be realistic, right? Have a budget in mind. And if you don't need to think about that, hey, at least know what you're going to be spending.
Yeah. And also, I think when you have a very active vacation, where you're not really spending a lot of time at your hotel, that's a good place to save some budget. If you're really only spending the night there and not any part of the day, then you can just go with a cheap hotel.
Yep, exactly. That's one of the recommendations I think we have for a lot of it, just being conscious, like you can spend more in certain places, but depending on your trip. So, you know, be mindful of that. And then step two is really, you know, selecting the places that you'd like to go. I think this is one of the more fun parts for me. There's so many different ways to do it. I can't even imagine, right? It's a lot of times it's you're on social media and you see friends and family going to certain places. And you can, if you get an idea, and then you can go deeper, right? You can then tag or drill down on the hashtags or the location that that you're seeing. And it's funny these days with Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, whatever it is, if you just put a city in there, you get to see quite a bit of what people do and how they travel. And that typically opens up my eyes. That leads me down to TripAdvisor, which has a little bit more detail. I think that's my go-to. I hate to say it. It's very general, and I think everybody knows about it. But TripAdvisor has, you know, really good information on the surface. I'd say this is where you start. It's good to look at when you're looking for places. But booking may be a different conversation altogether. But again, just the basics of Googling the country. Make sure you're checking for news, events that are happening there, you know, the weather. Just because it's summer for you doesn't mean it's summer where you're going. So, you know, small things that I do ahead of time, but making sure you get a high-level search going of things like that through all these social media and search feeds. At least you have a good idea of where you're going to go, and at least maybe it narrows it down. How about for you? What type of places do you like to go to?
Before I answer that, I actually want to say I really like the idea of just looking at Instagram and like entering the name of the place you go to just to look at pictures. I've never done that, but it seems like a great idea. And one advice I have is tell everyone that you're going to a specific place. You will meet someone that says they've already been there and they will just make some recommendations. Except you're going to somewhere nobody's ever been. But in most cases, that works. And yeah, the places I like to go to is usually it needs to be warm, nice weather. I want to be close to a beach, but not go to the beach because I just like the beach air, like the salty air, because it just feels good. I want to be close to mountains. And what's super important to me is that I need to be active during a vacation. I couldn't ever go to a place like the Bahamas or the Maldives because I would just get so bored after, 2 hours. I mean, there's only so much relaxing and drinking you can do. I want to do workouts. I want to go hiking. I want to explore things. And the typical beach vacation is, that's sort of a nightmare for me. What about you?
Okay, don't get me wrong. I love my beaches. And I think, you know, you can make the most out of anything. But that's what I love traveling with you. Definitely like being active, exploring. You know, I hate to say it, but going to scenic places where you could take these photos, it feels almost shallow, but it's like, these are the things I want to capture, right? Capturing photos and videos while you're traveling with beautiful places. Sometimes it's culture, sometimes it's people, sometimes it's just walking around the city. I'm pretty open. It's hard for me to find a place that I don't want to at least go visit once and check some time out. But I agree with you. Just sitting on the beach and drinking is really hard for me. So I definitely try to mix things up. And there's always an excursion. If you're by the water, you can definitely be active. So that's step two. You know, once you find the place, I think that it's most important, obviously, researching the flights and dates. If you're traveling for business, that limits you quite a bit. But if you're traveling for personal, you know, a lot of times it goes back to what budget you have and how you can find this place. And, you know, there's always a lot. And at least they've made life easier. Before it was, you know, scour the internet, find as many sites as you can. You know, you might be able to find a better deal here or there. But there's a lot of tools now that have just kind of brought that all together. I've, you know, fortunate enough, I did a lot of work travel, but when it's not work travel, Google Flights is a huge one. I've just really kind of started. Sometimes I just do research just to see, but it gives you like a global view, right? And it shows you the exact cost for flying to different locations. If you put in your dates, it'll show you what you can afford almost. Like, oh, if you fly here during this time, it'll cost you this much. Or vice versa. You know, like if you know you want to go to a place and you just want to figure out the dates, it'll tell you the dates that are the best for you to fly on. You know, sometimes it's weekdays, weekends specifically, or even time of the month because there's a holiday or an event. So you don't even know those kind of things. But Google Flight has made that really simple, and it's brought in all the different providers and vendors into one place. So I definitely rely on that. Is that something that you've used before? Or
I always use Google Flights, just for a rough idea of like what kind of connections do exist. Because I always want to make sure that I use a nonstop, like a direct flight. And what helps there is just first use Google Flights to understand if there's a connection at all. And then actually go to the website of the airline that is offering the flight, because those websites usually show you what days they're actually flying there. Because many airlines and many connections don't fly on a daily basis. They only fly on specific days. And then based on that information, you know when you should actually fly or what weekday you should fly there to make it a lot cheaper, because it's going to be a direct flight. It's going to be a nonstop flight. And I don't always directly book on the airline website. Then there's other tools you can try out, like Skyscanner, for example, which help you get the cheapest price as well. But if you're, and we'll get to that later, if you're part of an airline program, sometimes it's cheaper in the long run to book directly and pay a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a theme too, right? Like there's a good amount of research you can do with all of these different apps out there and different platforms, but it's always wise to check with the direct place that you're booking. It's easy enough, right? It's a Google search for the actual website, and then you can find the direct rates, and that goes for, you know, everything that you're doing. Sometimes it's worth it. It's great to do the research and then just check one time before you officially book, because you might be able to get a better deal there. There's definitely, if I think of Google Flights, it's one, but like Hopper is another one, and that goes for hotels and rental cars, and that getting ahead of myself, but there's definitely, you know, Travelocity, Orbitz, Expedia, they're all are good for research, but, yeah, I like the recommendation you said, check directly once you find out, what's available there. And then booking the essentials after you have your flights and dates, right? There's some things there, transportation, lodging, a few things that you want to make sure, as far as just things that you want to get ready and in place. Transportation is one. What do you typically do for transportation? You said Uber. Is that your preferred way of method when you get somewhere?
Well, Uber doesn't exist in Germany, but or at least not in the way it does in the US. But I use taxis, or for larger distances, I use a rental car.
Got you. Yeah, I mean, that's your standard one, right? Rental car. Just curious, do you have anything on rental cars, or is it just you book it with your flight, or you have any tips when it comes to that?
Well, I have the Platinum Amex, which gives me some discounts at some rental car companies. It's only like 10% discount, but still, it's cheaper for me to book direct rather than booking it in combination with a flight.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of ways, right? And that's your standard, your rental car. There's your Uber, your Lyft, your My Taxi. You know, make sure you understand what the local kind of shared drive or shared rides type of company is going to be available out there.
Oh yeah. And talking about transportation or rental cars in general, there's some companies that offer super cheap rental cars. For example, we went on a Mallorca vacation 2-3 years ago. And we got a rental car. It was like this small Jeep, and we rented it for 4 or 5 days, and we only paid 17 euros for the entire 4 days.
What?
I was like, this can't be right, but let's try it out. And I was like, where's the problem with that? And as soon as we got the rental car, I noticed, okay, what they're trying to do, obviously, is try to sell you insurance at 119 euros or so. So that's where they actually make the money. But here's my advice. Make sure you find a credit card with a high enough limit so that you can actually pay the deposit instead of having to pay for the insurance. Because they were like, oh yeah, you can just pay the 119 euros for insurance, or pay a 5,000 euro deposit. And most people in Europe don't have a 5,000 euro deposit or a 5,000 euro limit on their credit card. So luckily, I just recently got one for work that I could use. And then that's why I was able to pay the deposit. But then for all future travel, I made sure that my travel limit is high enough so that I can pay for that and save money on the rental cars.
Nice. I love the sound of that. Now, I think it's smart, right? That's a perfect little hack there to kind of be prepared and making sure that if you have the right credit limit, it sounds like you could take advantage of it. So I love that part, you know, gives you a chance to do it on a budget. And then if we go to the other side from the jet setter side, right? Because I've you know, rented a moped, and I've done that as well, where you pay a lot less. But if you want something really cool, you know, if you haven't heard of Turo, that's one of the ones that I like to look at, especially if you're going to be Ubering most of the time or using a taxi and you need like a car just for like a day or two. They have some really cool things. Turo is basically a ride share company, but it's loaning out personal cars. And so when you fly into certain places, there's going to be certain type of cars by, you know, locals that live there, and they make their car available. The cool thing is, like, man, if you go to like Florida, LA, like you can get literally Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Corvettes, and not ridiculous if you're paying for a day or two. I mean, obviously still more expensive, but it's a part of an experience that you can have, and you can do it for literally a day or two. They could drop off a car. They're really good about if there's any issues that come up. But that's one way to travel like a rock star, just even for a few days or so. All right, and then moving into the kind of lodging part of it, right? We've touched on this in a lot of different ways. There's, you know, there's a Hopper, there's Orbitz, there's Expedia. Any tips that you have on kind of booking hotels or how you go about it?
Not really. I usually look at booking.com, but what I've noticed, a lot of hotels, especially smaller ones like non-chain hotels, they offer a big discount if you book with them directly. So always make sure that wherever you find something, check out the direct hotel page and just book directly. It's usually cheaper. And even if it's not, call them and just ask if they can match the price or get you an even better price.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, you're definitely going direct. Googling corporate rates for specific, you know, large brands, sometimes you find some things on there. I'm not going to go too far into it, not get in trouble, but it's funny enough that you can go on to like a Bonvoy, a Marriott, and put in a corporate rate. Sometimes it's a number, sometimes it's just initials, and it immediately will show you some lower rates. So play with that a little bit. If you guys find some good stuff, good. But yeah, you didn't hear it from me. The other part, I've really got into, you know, hotels is normal for me from a business travel standpoint, but like I've really gotten into VRBOs and Airbnbs, and I just think it's the coolest thing ever. You know, you can really navigate things down to whatever you're looking for. Like there's a whole section of just cool homes and cool locations. Like if you wanted to go to a castle, if you wanted to have a house where the lake is your backyard, if you wanted to like live in, you know, the Hollywood Hills, where you're at some kind of movie star's house, so whatever it is, like all that stuff exists on Airbnb, and you can filter it. You know exactly what's going to cost. So that's kind of opened up my world, because I think it's the coolest thing to stay at someone's place that is like their dream home or their dream vacation home. And because they're not using it, you get to take full advantage of it. So I love that component of it. I'm just curious, are you an Airbnb fan? I know you got your own Airbnb, but is there a preference for that versus a hotel?
Always depends. I like the fact that a hotel has a gym and breakfast, and I don't have to worry about anything. But yeah, there's definitely places where a nice Airbnb, like a castle, that's pretty cool. Definitely preferred. Yeah, depends on the place, I'd say. But I didn't know you could filter for these super cool places on Airbnb. I got to check that out.
Yeah, you know, it's overwhelming sometimes the amount of things they can filter for. But I've gotten to the point where, like, if you go there and you just look in a city, there's just like too much, right? Like, and you put a price range, obviously, is a good way to kind of get your budget. But even then, there's so many options. And so the more specific you can get, you know, the type of host you want. For me, it's been like Airbnb with a view, waterfront with a pet and with a hot tub, and that really limits down like where I can go, but it allows me to like not have FOMO. Like I'm just looking at the places that realistically for me, and I don't have to worry about all the things that I can't afford or all the places that don't fit my criteria. But it's really cool. You can get down to the specific type of trip you have, and you know, you can search by location, and just again, I've gone to many times places where I just go look for a city by the water and then go, okay, where's a cool place by the water that fits my criteria. Had a lot of fun with that. So hopefully if you guys are, you know, out there looking, play around with that, that search criteria, get exactly what you want out of it, and make sure it's in your budget. That helps a lot. So you got your transportation, you got your lodging, and then it's about next step fifth step, or most important step for me, is kind of planning out your days, right? Create your itinerary, make sure you leave time for exploring. Obviously, you don't want to just have too many things jam-packed. You have to have some time to rest, but it's good to have a good sense of what's available. Even if you don't book it, plan it, you know, like I think it's important to go and search, you know, I think, again, back to TripAdvisor, top attractions, they typically give me a good sense of, you know, in a city, whether they, if they show a lot of parks or museums or nature, like you can get a good sense of what's there by just looking at the top attractions. And then, you know, after that, it's once you find something good, go a little bit further. It's back to our friend Google, YouTube, right? I like to search things like most popular things to do, you know, places with a view, most romantic things to do. I know that's kind of unique, but that always allows me to have a good time when I travel with my partner. If I look for the most romantic things to do, and I could usually find one or two things, have a day or two where that's set out. Best restaurants, best hole in the wall bar, you know, are there things like that you search for when you travel?
No, honestly, I only use TripAdvisor, for example, for restaurants. And all I do is look at pictures. And for some reason, I always find the best restaurants. And that's just by looking at pictures. For anything else, I have no idea. I just drive around and then I notice some cool place and then I just go there. But I don't actively plan. Or I go with people like you and you tell me where to go and you just drag me along.
That works, right? Like you said, sometimes getting into the place and having a feeling. But no, for me, I like to just know what's around. Like if there's a really popular restaurant that everybody goes to, I'd like to know about it. I don't always book it. But that way, if I have a day, if I have a night and it happens to work out, you know, I can check with them and there's availability. I'm all about it. But, you know, so that's definitely, you know, just kind of doing your search in the U.S. Like I Google for Eventbrite or Ticketmaster or Game Time. Sometimes, again, when there was live events, those are good apps to kind of just dig through, get a good sense of where you're going. The one of the coolest things I'd say I've come across and that I've learned a lot more and I want to use, but I haven't done as much, but is back to Airbnb. Man, it's almost like a plug. I think we got to put a link in there. But Airbnb experiences is one of those things that has really come to life. And it's like really cool because you're going into certain places, you know, these different countries, different cities. And what it is, it's local people that are providing an experience for you. You know, like a local excursion, it could be a local tour, it could be a walking tour. Sometimes they show you where the best bars are, best place to watch a sports game. I've seen where there's like families that host a dinner where you can have local food with a local family. But it's just people sharing what they do for fun, you know, in that local environment. And I think it's just the coolest thing to be able to go to a place. Like, right, we can always do the top attractions, you can always do the sightseeing, but to be able to get familiar with someone local, see how they live their lives or learn where they're going is always pretty cool.
Have you done that before?
Yeah, you know, there's I did like the wine tasting ones that were a lot easier to do. Obviously, I was in Napa and I wanted to just kind of get the local person. I've known some folks there, but it was really cool because there's over 400 wines there or wineries there, right? And so I was staying in a little spot in Sonoma and I was like, okay, we just want to have somebody local kind of guide me around. And after that, you can get on your own. But I've heard way cooler things that are out there. Like I was listening to something. It was like, if you go to Japan and if you wanted to, you know, walk around and they can give you like a samurai or geisha themed outfit and they just literally follow you around and take photos in the most popular Instagram spots, right? Like different type of travel altogether. But there are people willing to do whatever it is that you think you might want to do. And it's normally a lot lower cost because it's just kind of a local person taking you on a tour or something like that. So definitely check out Airbnb experiences if you haven't, you know, at least look into it. Again, maybe sometimes it just gives you ideas of what to do, but that's a big part of it. And then the last, you know, basic, you touched on this kind of food, right? TripAdvisor is a great place to go for it. For me, if you're going to be in the U.S., definitely OpenTable is the one I've brought up before. They have some of the best restaurants listed there, normally the high-end ones. And you know, in today's pandemic, you're going to need reservations. So OpenTable allows that. Resy, R-E-S-Y, that's a similar one as well. It allows you to make reservations ahead of time, do some research. If you have a big group that you're traveling with, you definitely need to make some reservations. And then Yelp, I Yelp everything. It has ratings, it has reviews. Again, mostly for US, but I think for international, you're telling me it's TripAdvisor? Is that how your preferred method of looking into those places?
I don't think Yelp is very popular outside of the US. But yeah, we use TripAdvisor. I also use OpenTable. And yeah, in Spain and Portugal, the Fork is also pretty interesting for food.
Cool. The Fork. I think there's a ton of different ways to do it. But, you know, hopefully you guys have a few good ones. And again, open to hearing what you share. But yeah, I think it's really cool that they have those. So you make sure you know ahead of time where you can go, make some reservations. And then for the other part of it that I'm a big fan of, which is kind of the food delivery, right? There's DoorDash, there's Uber Eats, there's Grubhub. It's basically when you're, especially if you're staying at an Airbnb, you know, you don't have as much access. There's like room service basically anywhere you go. And it's so cool because even before you get there, you could put your location, your address, and you can find what delivers there. And it gives you a sense of, you know, what you can get. And, you know, the jet setter tip for me that I've seen, which is really cool, is that sometimes I've seen people land at an airport, immediately, you know, look for the food, figure out what they want. And by the time they get to the hotel, the food's delivered, they're checking in, they're getting to eat some kind of local food, their favorite food, upon arrival, right? That feels like a celebrity type of thing, but it's how our life has been made these days. They've made things so convenient for us. So I think that's just kind of really a cool option to be able to land somewhere, order something local, especially like if they're known for something. Like I was in Chicago and he was like, I want a deep dish pizza. Boom. That was delivered by the time I got there. Philadelphia, Philly cheesesteak, right? Boom. It was delivered. So very cool stuff to be able to try.
That's not the kind of thing I would like because, yes, it's convenient, but I do love the restaurant experience and also food tastes better in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But again, I'm a room service guy when it comes to first day land. So it makes things a little bit easier. But so hopefully there's a few tips for you guys there. Again, very high level, but just a few things that we do and a few niches that you can find that actually can kind of blow up your experience. And so with that, I think give it a good chance to also find out how else you can benefit if you're going to be traveling quite a bit, right, with these programs. So Tobias, you want to share a little bit of what you got and what you're doing there?
Yeah. So fortunately, during COVID, all of the requalification periods have been completely removed. So if you had status before COVID, you still have it. And that's why I'm still a happy member of Star Alliance and SkyTeam, which are both airline programs. So Star Alliance is all of the, probably the major ones like United, Lufthansa, and I don't even remember who else. And SkyTeam is like Delta, KLM, I think Southern China, or I forgot what they're called. But in general, the concept is always the same. You want to be loyal to a specific airline group, for example, Star Alliance. And then every time you book a flight, you just enter your membership number. So for example, with Lufthansa, it's called Miles and More number. This is your personal ID that tracks how many miles you've traveled. And airline miles are not actual miles. It's just the name of the bonus points. You keep collecting them, and then there are certain levels. It's sort of it's gamified when you think about it. So if you have a certain amount of miles within a certain amount of time, which is usually within a year, a calendar year, not a 12-month rolling window, then you get to a specific status. You could get silver, gold, platinum, and so on. And it gets really interesting at gold. But with many airlines, silver level already gives you access to airport lounges. It gives you additional like bags, maybe priority check-in. And especially when you're a Star Alliance Gold member, that allows you to go into the cool lounges at airports. And I really love the lounges at airports because you get free food, free drinks. It's quiet, it's comfortable, and it's just, you don't notice that you're at an airport. It feels like you're at a quiet place. You usually have good food. You can work there. You can just watch videos, and you don't have like crying children and hectic people around you. It's just a very nice experience to be there. And you also get an additional check-in bag for free. You get priority access. You get priority lines at security lines. And it's just a much better experience. But you don't necessarily have to become a gold member in those airline programs. There's also a thing called Priority Pass, which, by the way, you get for free if you get the Platinum Amex. But you can also pay, I think, $60 a year or something like that for the Priority Pass membership. And that gives you access to another set of airline lounges. Maybe you want to check out if the airports you frequent most actually have some supported lounges from Priority Pass, and that gives you access to those lounges as well without having to travel a lot. So if you're not a frequent traveler, if you just travel occasionally, it still makes sense to get a membership with Priority Pass. Or if you're really only traveling once a year, just pay for the entrance fee, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Man, do I miss those lounges and the free food. And I think it was in Tokyo where they had like the machine where the beer was like perfectly poured. I think they have that even in Germany. So yeah, I think it's really cool. It's a tough thing sometimes, right? Because it could be like costly, or you could save money sometimes going through a website. But then if you think over the long term, if you're going to do a lot of travel, it definitely makes sense to stay loyal. You know, just the small perks of the free extra bag, the priority check-in, less headaches. I fully agree with you there. So very, very cool. Anything else on your side on that?
Just one more app recommendation. So if you do want to plan your entire trip, I would definitely recommend the TripIt app. That's TripIt, one word. And what you can do there is whenever you book a flight, a hotel reservation, a rental car, you always get a confirmation email, and you can just use those emails and forward them directly to the TripIt app, and it will automatically set up your entire itinerary. So you will immediately know what flight do you have, when does it leave, what gate do you have to go to, which airline is it, what's your booking code. And when there's changes to the flight, you get automatically updated in that page, and you also get push notifications. So that's super helpful, and it shows you like, this is the day you want to go, this is the hotel you go to, this is the rental car, this is where you can get the rental car, and so on. Definitely one of my favorite apps when it comes to traveling.
Cool. No, I remember hearing it, and I got a bit do better of using it and applying it, but I love the sound of that. So awesome. I think that's really helpful. You know, I think with all this talk, I am so ready to just get on the road and start actually experiencing this travel. But hopefully, you know, this was helpful for everyone here. Again, just high level tips. We've got a few more if you guys ever want to chat, but would love to hear what you guys do, especially if you've got some good hacks that we missed out on here. Definitely share. But hopefully this was a good little bit round of conversation that you guys took something out of it. So any last words from you, Tobias, on this topic? I see the head shaking. All right. Well, no, I will leave you guys with a quote, as I always like to do here. And it's a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Lao Tzu. So man, what are you waiting for? Get out there. You've got your tips. You're ready to go. And hopefully we'll see you guys in somewhere cool and send pictures. All right. Have a good one. Ciao.